You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And talking mullets right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Simo, you and I don't have mullets.
Party at the back, business all front, right?
Yes.
Is that how it rolls?
I think so.
Something along those lines. Mm. Now, the championships, the mullet championships happened over the weekend.
Okay.
Now, this was the USA leg of the mullet championships.
I'm pretty sure the USA had another quite major thing to deal with over the weekend. Didn't have time to throw in a mullet championship as well.
This was by popular vote as well, I'll have you know.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, so...
Please tell me whoever came like fourth or something says I was robbed.
Well, I reckon one of the kids was absolutely robbed. So it's the 2020 Kids Mullet Championships.
Oh, so it's only the kids one.
That's right. So coming in at first place, Jax with an X took home a $500 prize. If you want to check out these mullets, check out the Instagram and the social media stories there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to have a vote as well on which one you reckon does the job.
Can we ask, do we know how old these kids are roughly? Are they like five or do they have some say in their haircut?
Jax is eight.
Okay.
So there'd definitely be some say, you'd think. I
guess so.
All year round, I'm not sure if it's enough for like $500. Would you grow a mullet all year round if you could get $500 at some point during the year? So
it's not going well. I must admit, I've seen the picture, and that I reckon that takes more than 12 months to grow.
Yeah. So Jax took home top prize. He beat out 100 applications.
Wow.
So there were 100 other applicants. 5,000 votes were counted as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he managed to get the win. Now, Kevin Begola, the president of the Mullet Championship, said, during these tough times, it's important to have fun. It's exactly what 2020 needed.
Yeah.
A Mullet Championship.
So what was his name? Jax came first. Who was runner-up?
Noah. Now, Noah's a bit older, 12 years of age. He's old enough to know better. He's old enough to know better. Sorry, I couldn't know myself.
Yeah, that was terrible. And was Noah the one that you think that got robbed?
No,
or?
I reckon... So, here we go. All right. So, Noah...
Oh, I just saw... is that number three?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So, Noah, coming in at second, the 12-year-old, he grew himself a freedom flapper mullet, is what it's being referred to as.
Going for the patriotic vote.
Yeah. So it's...
How do you go into a hairdresser and say, well, what are we doing today? I'm just a freedom flapper, please.
A freedom flapper mullet, please.
Yeah.
I'll have one of them. And then the one I reckon that was, like, it's rigged against him, this kid, Jude, 7 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Jude from Colorado in the red corner. Sorry. And he finished third for his modern mullet, but... As you can see, you can check it out online as well. It's completely orange.
Yeah, he's not just gone the full mullet
and
it goes like right down past the shoulders, but it's also been dyed orange.
Yeah, dyed orange, spiky business at the front and party at the back, but really it's just a party all around because it's very orange.
You know, I totally agree with you. This kid, whoever came in third was robbed. He should be yelling, stop the count. Saying that it's all fraud.
Demand a recount. they're trying to steal this mullet championship.
Demand a recount in the states where you're losing, but not the ones where you're winning. And then, I reckon Jax, I mean, I don't want to, you know, allege anything that didn't happen.
Stop the mullet vote.
But I reckon Jax, the guy who came first, is definitely working with the feds.
Yeah, I reckon
this is definitely rigged.
He's in on it. It's biased.
So, Simo, next year's mullet competition?
Yep.
Thinking of entering?
No, but maybe I'll get myself a kid and then enter them because I don't know what the age...
I don't think that's how it works. Just go to your local supermarket. Yes, I'll have one kid, please. No. Preferably one with a long hair.
Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, the US election's been on. I'm not sure if you've caught any of it.
Yes, so I watched 6 hours straight when the votes rolled in. Was that Thursday or Friday last week?
I think it was Wednesday.
Oh my gosh.
I could be wrong.
Wow.
It's been going on a while.
Yeah, I think yesterday they said, 4 days since the results came in, so it must have been, maybe it was Wednesday.
Anyway, over the weekend it was, I don't know if it was officially announced, but it was announced that Joe Biden had won and was going to be the next president of the USA. The Trump fans, Trump himself didn't accept this.
The Trumpians.
So I think there's going to be... look, it's going to go on for a while,
there's a lot of references to the red wave, the blue wall. They're very good at marketing over there in the US. Yeah.
Did you see just moments after Joe Biden had been declared the winner, the Trump campaign did a bit of a press conference to say that, no, we think that this is ridiculous, this is rigged, and all of the stuff that they were saying.
Yeah.
Donald himself, he wasn't there, but Trump's son, I think, was there, and a guy called Rudy Giuliani, which if you've seen the new Borat movie, yeah, him.
You're that guy.
no, I was just tucking in my shirt. No, you weren't, mate.
Yeah, so.
So they held a press conference to talk about, it's rigged and all this sort of stuff. Did you see the location?
Oh, yes.
Of where they chose to
vaguely,
do the press conference.
This absolutely took off overnight. Hey, so they booked somewhere completely the wrong spot.
Well, of course, on social media, Trump announced that there would be a news press conference at the Four Seasons Hotel in Philadelphia at 11 a.m. Now, the Four Seasons, that's a quite posh hotel and all that sort of stuff. That tweet was deleted minutes later and replaced with another one saying that, no, the press conference isn't going to be held at the Four Seasons Hotel. It's going to be held at the Four Seasons Total Landscaping business.
So that was actually...
They booked the wrong Four Seasons. That's basically it.
The general manager of the actual Four Seasons has seen that tweet. Like, do we have anything booked today?
No, I'm pretty sure the conference room is empty.
What the?
Oh. But so someone in the Trump team had just Googled Four Seasons and gone, yep, okay, this is where we'll book it. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Called up this, which turned out to be a Four Seasons landscaping business.
Yeah.
And said, yes, can we book our press conference there? And fair play to them. They're a landscaping business. They're not prepared for, you know, the all of the media and all the press to come to them.
Yeah.
But they said yes.
I love that.
And literally they just stuck a lot of like Trump posters on a garage door and that was it. That was where they held the press conference.
Any publicity is good publicity for landscapers, I guess. The same rules apply.
This landscaping business, as pointed out by many people, happened to be right next door to an adult shop and across the road from a cremation centre.
Oh, dear.
So.
Wow, they do everything.
No, they were different businesses.
Yeah, but you can just kind of cruise down that street, get your landscaping done, get your nighttime activities done, and then...
And then end it.
Burn...
For lack of a better word.
Burn to a crisp for all of the nighttime activities you partook in.
But so I just love... Imagine if you were the person in the Trump campaign that kind of made that mistake and you kind of had to tell... All of the, like, Trump's son and all the big wigs from the Trump campaign. Oh, yeah, so we're not actually going to the Four Seasons.
They've been running that country.
We're going to some landscaping place.
That has the same name. They've been running the country for the last 4 years over there.
I know.
That's whole... I know. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just glad that Trump didn't get confused. Oh, we're going to build a wall around a landscaping business and make them pay for it.
Have you seen... Obviously, there's a lot of street activity over there now as well regarding the votes coming in and people taking to the streets and a lot of joyous flag waving and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Biden fan, yes, there's a lot of joyous flag waving. If you're a Trump fan, a bit less.
Also, I was watching the coverage of it over the weekend and just random street celebratory people are approaching news.
Random street celebratory people.
Yeah. So they are approaching the news reporters that are trying to report live on the situation and just hijacking their conferences and their reports. It's fantastic.
Yeah, if you're a news reporter and you're doing like an outside broadcast, if it's around like the people that have just won like the biggest election in history or like a team that's just won the grand final, you're going to get showered with beer.
Yeah.
And like it's not going to be a good interview.
Yeah, so I saw Channel 7 over the weekend copped an F-bomb live on air.
Did they?
Like, whoa, okay, whoops. And then there was this one as well, Jordan. I caught this on French TV.
Yeah.
Right? 8 million times has it been viewed because they're trying to report the happenings of the election.
Mm-hmm.
And then this rogue celebration occurred and took over.
And I've been to France. It's beautiful.
I ate it by such a song.
I ate it,
no,
I love a croissant. I love an omelette du fromage.
There's just some bloke that's, look, he may have had a croissant. I reckon he's had some other beverage as well.
Yeah, probably.
So just to come up to the French news reporter and make noises.
There's plenty happening on the streets in the US at the moment, for sure.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And this is miraculous, Jordan. A young man has awoken out of a coma after 62 days he'd been in this coma.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... And what a 62 days to miss as well has been a little bit happening.
Yeah, right. Waking on up and everything's a little different.
So what happened?
Got anything to report? So what has occurred is that the teen is only 18 years of age in a bit of a motor vehicle accident.
Okay.
And then ended up having to... I think he went through like over six surgeries.
Wow.
A lot of otomies. So, I'm not even going to try to pronounce them. Liver repair, there's a whole bunch of different things had to
get
done.
There were lots of different surgeries. Let's just leave it at that.
Absolutely. And he awoke from his coma when his older brother came to visit and hung out by his bedside. And then it just kind of, I don't know if he whispered this, but he said to him that he heard his brother mention that he would eat his favourite dish, chicken fillets. Chicken tenders. And then all of a sudden, his heart rate started to rise and miraculously began to regain consciousness. His vital signs began to stabilise and he's now fully recovered.
Gee, our chicken fillet's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, so the 18-year-old's in a coma, brother came to visit, somehow in conversation, said the word chicken fillets.
So I've got what he said here.
Yeah.
So apparently he's in and out of consciousness until before slipping into a full-on coma for 62 days. His older brother came to visit him, and you know how kind of they talk.
On day 62, got around to visiting your brother.
Well, he was there in and out, obviously.
Oh, just checking.
And he said, "Brother, I'm going to eat your favourite chicken fillets tonight," or whatever. And then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, the 18-year-old came out of his coma.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah, it's just that...
He's not eating my portion.
Isn't it interesting that it's almost that... It's brotherly love, but, you know, the love-hate relationship that's brought him out of that coma.
Do you know... I mean, maybe you don't know this. Are doctors saying that it was... He actually heard chicken fillets and that's what woke him up? Or is it just pure coincidence that he happened to be waking up? They could have said, "Oh, I'm going to buy you a new Barbie doll or something," and then he woke up.
I think they are kind of blaming that as the trigger, if you like, for coming out of the coma.
I don't think blaming is the right word.
Yeah. It's the chicken tender's fault.
You've woken up out of your coma. How dare you?
It's your fault.
How dare you?
It's your fault your brother's woken up. But yeah, so it must be one of those things that you're used to hearing. You know how you can, it's like you can train your dogs to come at a certain time to eat dinner.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe he's come out of the coma because dinner's ready. And
well,
then
they've trained their son that after 62 days in a coma, he'll wake up when the chicken fillets are ready.
I'm saying it's ballpark a similar kind of, similar training, if you like, yeah.
You know what else I've just thought of? You know how like sometimes you're thinking, it's like, "Oh, I don't know what to have for dinner tonight."
That's right.
I just can't work. Wandering around the supermarkets, do I feel like pasta? No, do I feel like something? I don't know. I don't think they're going to have that issue. I was like, "Right, what should we have for dinner tonight?" Maybe some chicken fillets.
Yeah, that is like, how are we going to keep him awake? Just chicken from now on.
So this is this 18-year-old now. It's 100% chicken.
100% protein, baby.
Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, did you get attacked by a large group of wild animals over the weekend?
Nope.
I know it's a bit of a bizarre question, but...
Yeah. No, there was a lot of bird life out the front of this joint this morning. Seagull and a crow.
It's interesting you bring up those exact birds.
Okay.
And it's interesting you bring up this morning, actually, because last night I was not far away from the office here.
Yeah.
In fact, getting a takeaway.
Oh, nice.
Because I couldn't find anything else for dinner. So I thought I'd go for a burger and chips combination.
Couldn't find anything else.
Let's move on.
Like you're scavenging through the neighbourhood, looking through bins.
Looking for some old bread or something that's just been left.
Just couldn't find anything.
Just had to get a burger and chips.
There's nothing there.
Well, Simo, I did go in and purchase a burger and chips.
Yeah.
As I walked into Zed Stater takeaway shop, I didn't notice what could only be described as 20,000 seagulls waiting out the front.
Ah, that was like a guard of honour. A gull of honour.
Not so much a guard of honour, but just all these seagulls plotting how they are going to get chips, which I just kind of walked past them, didn't think about it at the time. When my food was ready, I walk out of the shop and realise that all of these seagulls, all 20,000 of them, have seen me, and I've got to get to my car, which is about 20 metres over there.
So, yeah, did you notice if there was a ringleader of the gulls?
Look, I didn't. They were all pretty vicious, I'm not going to lie. They all could have been the ringleader.
Typically, there's the alpha. There is always an alpha involved when there's large groups of any kind of animal kingdom.
Simo, when there's a large group of seagulls and me with a bucket of hot chips, they are the alpha.
That's true.
Combined, they are the alpha.
Yeah, I'd be on the lookout for the one that's going to make the first move, though, because the rest will follow.
Oh, yeah. So I was kind of walking out. I had the burger in one hand, the chips in the other. It was one of those buckets that was kind of open at the top for you to go and...
Oh, no.
So I'm kind of like, all right, well, seagulls stay on the ground. Provided I don't drop these chips, I'm fine. As soon as I took about five steps, there are seagulls hovering over me.
Yeah,
I kind of got the burger, put them on top of the chips because I didn't want any of the seagulls to come and snatch them out of my hand.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm just surrounded like that. They're all flapping. They're all going crazy. There would have been about 20 just kind of flying around me.
They get bold as well, don't they?
I know. And they're they're vicious.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of running to my car and I'm like, all right, here's an idea. I'll sacrifice one chip. I'll throw it as far as I can.
Classic.
Hope that they all go over there.
Classic misdirection.
So I grabbed the first chip that I could see, threw it as far as I could. Unfortunately, I threw it straight into a seagull.
Nice.
Which means it stopped and landed about a meter away from me on the floor.
Not great.
Half of them flocked for that. The other half thought, oh, he's giving out chips now.
It's on.
I just bolted for my car.
It's on for young and old at that point.
I know. I was really hoping that no one filmed it because it would have been mighty embarrassing for me.
What you should have done was get an extra pack. Secondary packet of chips, because also you get to feel the power that you wield, because you realise that it's actually, you could shift the power, Jordan.
I can.
Because you've given them power by trying to hold on to the chips, right?
Yeah.
Don't let the chips control you, right? So if you have a secondary packet of chips, that means you can throw them and control the seagulls. Wherever they shall go, you can send them to the left, send them to the right, send them behind you, send them after someone else.
I'm like some weird orchestra, but not with musicians, but with seagulls.
That's it.
But so I managed to make it into my car. However, all the seagulls were, then they all just sort of landed on my car and they're pecking at the windscreen. And
yeah, it's tricky, isn't
it? I can't go out on the open road with a flock of seagulls. I beat the horn, they didn't move.
Nah, they only want one thing, the salty potato goodness.
I was kind of thinking, I don't know what I was going to do. And then, okay, maybe this is evil of me. But as they're all flocking around my car,
yeah,
I noticed someone else walking out of the takeaway shop.
Right.
It happened to be two young children.
Yeah.
With two large boxes of chips.
How good.
Now, I'm going to state that this is completely evil of me. But there's not much I could have done.
Did you throw a chip at the young kids?
No.
Oh, okay.
I pointed.
Oh, yeah, that'll do. That'll work.
And it worked. And they went after the kids and I drove home to eat my chips in peace. I don't think those kids got a chip and are probably scarred.
There's another evil option that you had when you're sitting in the car and they're having a go at your windscreen.
Yeah.
Windscreen wipers.
Oh, yeah, wipers. I didn't think of that.
Just turn them on, away you go.
With the water thing as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, probably wouldn't have, you know, the ones on the bonnet or so and the roof would have probably stayed put, but the three that were on the windscreen would have been terrified.
But that's the same thing. So you know how
would they have thought, oh, yeah, sweet, cool, drink with the chips. Thank you. I'll have some water, please.
And a nice, cool beverage. But it's similar to, like you say, there was 20,000 of them, it felt like, right? It's like going to prison. You know how they always say you got to stab the biggest prisoner in the yard?
Well, I mean, no, because I've never been to prison and stabbing is bad.
Yeah, but then same rationale with the seagulls. So you got to windscreen wipe the biggest gull in the pack in order to survive, because then they'll be like, whoa, don't mess with him.
Or just next time I go, just make sure there isn't 20,000 seagulls lurking around.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And a petition has begun.
Okay.
In Australia here. Now, the owner of a pub, it's the Duke of Brunswick. This is down in SA.
Okay.
All right. They have started a petition to allow dogs to be inside all of South Australian pubs.
Right. Are dogs banned from... Oh, you know, I guess they would be inside, banned from inside. Right? Yeah, okay.
Now, you're a man that likes a beverage and doesn't like a doggo.
Yeah.
How does that sit? How does that sit with you?
Well, hopefully the dog sits nice and quietly.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Maybe not in the eating area of a pub. I can imagine that dogs with schnitzels and chips everywhere could be a bit crazy.
Dog hair is the last thing you want in your lasagna, right?
Well, I mean, an actual dog would probably be worse.
Actually, yeah, there's
just,
some other...
Just jumped up on the table.
Okay, not the last thing that you would want, but it's up there.
Yeah, a whole lot of cockroaches, they would probably be worse.
Yeah, there's other stuff that is worse, but it would still suck.
But no, I don't think I would mind too much.
So you're offering a trial period. Would you put your name to the petition?
If you send me the link, I will.
Yeah?
Why?
I'm just wondering.
Is there something else that you're not mentioning about this petition?
So far, 2,000 people signing up for it. And it was about 500 people or so taking to social media to be like, hell no, don't let this happen.
Well, what side are you, a yes or a no?
I'm a yes, within reason. For instance, outside of the supermarket the other week, what was it, on the weekend, I reckon? Last weekend, a couple of doggos absolutely belting their barks to the back of every building within a 100-meter radius.
That would be annoying.
Super annoying.
I reckon if the dog barks once, out.
Yeah, I agree.
That is the rule. We need a specific dog bouncer on dog duty.
dog monitors.
Just kind of going around.
Yep.
Just kind of going, no, you barked, you're out.
You barked, you're out.
One bark and that is you gone.
Because there is more and more of this. Have you heard of these like cat cafes popping up and things like that?
Yeah, but I think they're a bit different. I think like the cafe owns the cats.
Yeah.
And you specifically go there to, not so much for the food because, you know, hygiene probably not the best thing.
Hmm.
But you more specifically go there if you like cats and you want to spend time with a cat.
Yeah, so it makes sense that that's their space and you're going to their space.
Yeah.
Right? Rather than taking the doggos and the cats to human spaces.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's people's issues with it. I myself, I'm all in favour.
Mm.
Big fan of a doggo.
Actually, I've just thought of... So I said yes at the start of this.
Yeah.
I've now just, in my head, changed to no.
Okay, yeah.
Simo, we've all been, admittedly not recently, but now that everything is getting back to normal, we've all been to kind of bars and all that sort of stuff.
That's right, yeah.
On a Saturday night or a Friday night when it is quite busy.
Yeah.
The queue for the bathroom.
Yeah, right.
And the male bathroom in particular.
Hmm.
No matter what place you go to, it can be a fancy place. The male bathroom will stink.
No, yeah, probably.
It already stinks with, like, humans, let alone with dogs using that bathroom as well.
Very true. You'd have to come up with some other kind of option.
We did have, like, the male, the female, and the dog toilet.
Yeah, it's an option, I guess. It'll be interesting to see if the legislation gets through from the petition, which you're no longer going to sign.
I'm removing my signature.
Cross my name off.
Put me over to the no camp.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.